Thanks for listening to the Lunch and Learn with Dr. Barry, here to help educate, motivate, and put you on the right path to take control of your health through weekly discussions on topics in the medical field, public health arena, and in your community. And now your host, Dr. Barry.
Welcome to Medicine Mondays, where today we're going to be diving into the world of the extraordinary, cutting edge, and most importantly, profoundly impactful. I'm yours truly, Dr. Barry Pierre. Today, we're going to talk about how the tiniest particles, naked to the eye, might hold the key for medical advances, treatment, diagnosis, and even screenings. We're going to talk about the marriage between nanotechnology and medicine. And fortunately, I'm joined by a trailblazer in this field, Dr. Craig Richard, who not only pushes the limits of what nanotechnology in medicine can do, but is also a staunch proponent for representation and mentorship of Black students in STEM fields. We're going to be talking about how nanotechnology and medicine go together. We're going to be talking about the advances of nanotechnology in regards to cancer, one of the diseases that when you hear that, you're thinking, all right, it's all she wrote. More importantly, we're going to talk about why he took up the mantle to want to be the voice of a field where, again, I'll be honest, I don't know too many bioengineers, so I'm excited to have him on the show. All right, welcome to another episode of Medicine Mondays. You heard the introduction, and today is an important conversation. I probably say this every week with a field of science that, I'll be honest, guys, I don't really know much about. This is when you get the experts, right? You get the experts when you don't really know what you need to know. And as a person who has taken the time to evaluate patients and diagnose them with probably one of the words that no one ever wants to hear, the word cancer. As a person who's had to sit across a patient, a mother, a father, brother, cousin, uncle, what, and tell them, hey, you have cancer, and recognize that they don't probably hear anything else I say after the word cancer. I'm just so excited that there's a field and really embedded with medicine that is working to make that conversation for me a lot easier. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by Dr. Richard, who is going to give us an amazing conversation on this, really this marriage between bioengineering, biomedicine, nanotechnology, kind of a smorgasbord. I'm very excited. Dr. Richard, thank you for joining Medicine Mondays this week.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Pierre. And yeah, this is really awesome. And I really appreciate you having me on today.
So I get people who they always skip the introduction, right? Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, right? Who is Dr. Richard? Why is Dr. Pierre having my show this week?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, or just really right outside New Orleans, but I say New Orleans because, you know, there's a bunch of small towns around there. But from there, went to LSU, then went to grad school at the University of Illinois. And now I'm a postdoc at the Cancer Center here. So doing some research there, more in community outreach and engagement and education.
And that's one of those things where that really drew me, because you know how I do, right? I typically will follow my guests for a little bit, see if I think they're the right fit. And I was excited right off the bat that not only did I have someone who was embedded with science that I didn't really know about, but I knew that was so beneficial to my field, someone who actually loved the aspect of representation and mentorship, right? We're going to get into all of that today, but it was definitely something that kind of drew a little extra, especially as a Black physician who, you know, I go into a lot of hospitals, I go into a lot of rooms where when it comes to Black individuals, especially Black men,
nothing. Yeah. Yeah, I completely understand. And that was one of the major reasons I started doing the social media thing, because I wasn't seeing the representation on my campus. So I was like, okay, where are we? I want to start looking and trying to find my people. And it's like, oh, we're all online. We're all on TikTok. We're all on Instagram and all this and YouTube and stuff. And so I started finding this community and, you know, building this group of people and, you know, just to bounce ideas off of, or to just, you know, commiserate our miseries about grad school with, yes, you know?
And, you know, one of the things I do love, right, and, you know, I got some gray hairs, right, so I'm a little older, right, I assume, right, and especially my class, right, you know, I'm class of 2007 to 11, like, we were definitely afraid of going on social media. That was not a choice for us. It actually was a choice, but it wasn't a choice that we thought of. We always felt that, like, oh, you know what? It's nothing but evil there. It's bad things there. Like, I can't get no good from going on social media, to the point where I remember I used to have to sit in my, because especially during medical school, I would have to sit into the dean's office every year and go over HIPAA rules. And they, hey, Barry, I know you like to go online and write your blog and stuff, but, you know, this is some of the stuff you can't say. So I just love hearing the fact that you're like, I went to social media because I needed to find my community, because where I'm at right now, we're just not there.
Yeah.
And I think it's so extremely important, especially, right, the higher we go and the less of us that are there, I think it's so important that we have to, especially our community, Black community, I don't think we have a choice to be able to kind of sit in a cocoon and be like, oh, you know what? Ain't too many Black eternists over here. So I'm just going to, I'll be okay being the only person and not venture out. And more importantly, I'll be okay not letting people know, hey, these are the good things about my career, not so good things about my career, right? Because I think when you're trying to be a mentor and your mentees want to know both sides, they know it's not all roses and peaches and they want to know, like, okay, that's cool and all, but tell me the stuff you don't really like. And so that's why I'm excited for this conversation, because obviously we get to talk about a conversation that is extremely tough, especially in medicine, which is cancer. And in you're in a field where you're not only helping with the advancement of treatment, but diagnosis and screening and everything else, but you're helping, I'll be honest, make that conversation a lot easier for me.
This week's episode is brought to you by the Autism in Black Foundation, which is hosting the 4th annual Autism in Black Conference. This year's theme is Bridging the Gap, which is helping to celebrate our unique experiences, cultivating a community of understanding while building a brighter future together. Autism in Black Conference is designed by and for the Black autism community, centering on our needs, experiences, and aspirations. The conference looks to provide a safe and supportive space where Black individuals, families, professionals, and advocates can all come together to learn, share, and empower one another. For more information, including how to purchase tickets for the virtual conference, please check out drbarrypierre.com/AIB2024.
Let's talk a little bit about this nanotechnology in general. Just for those who like, is this a tech video? Like, let's talk a little bit about nanotechnology and then how have you seen some of the applications, especially when we talk about cancer?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So just kind of a brief overview of what a nanoparticle is or what nanotechnology is. So they have critical dimensions of the size, so below a micron, so like nanometers. So it's, you know, generally between 1 and 100, that's like kind of like a really tight definition, but more loosely, it's anything below a micron. So, you know, 999 nanometers.
So we're not seeing it. This is not something I'm seeing.
It's not something that you can really see with your visible eye. You might be able to see kind of like some bulk scale properties with your visible eye, but you can't see like the individual features with your eye. They're all like super tiny. And, you know, when you start shrinking things down to this really small scale, like things start changing. Gold doesn't look gold anymore. It can be like red, blue, purple, whatever. Mm. Other things start, you know, conducting electricity, or they start, you know, emitting light. Fundamental properties start to change when you start to nanostructure things. So that's what's really cool about that, at least for me.
Before we kind of get into like its application with cancer, what drew you into that? Were you always like, I love science, and then I like science too. That just wasn't my detour turn. So like, what kind of drew you to that?
Yeah, so I didn't know about bioengineering until probably what, like either my junior or senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, I like biology. I like the aspect of like, you know, the human body and like medicine and stuff. But I also like the kind of aspects of design. So I like the engineering and I like that. It's like, okay, is there something that combines both of those fields? And I asked like my guidance counselor for like a list of careers, and I saw bioengineering is like, aha, it popped out. It's like, that is exactly what I wanted. And so, you know, I read more and more about it, and it's just like, this is what I want to do. Yes, sign me up. Where can I sign up? And we had to do this like career project. We had to basically like shadow a person in that field for 2 semesters. And I ended up like reaching out to a contact that I'd made at a science fair to like go to LSU and like follow a bioengineer. And I was doing like genetics research. I was like making tobacco plants glow green because I was essentially inserting the gene for green fluorescent protein into the plant. And so the end result was I had a plant that glowed green. And so that kind of got me really interested in like genetics and some other things. And then, you know, once I started like college, I started like working in a research lab and I started doing internships. Initially, I thought I was really interested in like doing plant research, but I did a plant internship and it's like, maybe I'll keep that as a hobby. It wasn't, you know, my cup of tea. It was interesting, but it just wasn't the most interesting. And then that next summer, I applied to a internship and I actually didn't get it. But they called me and said, hey, we can't offer you a position in this one, but there's this other one that's like nanotechnology related. And I was like, yeah, sign me up. Sure. This sounds super interesting.
I'll take that.
And so it kind of like all fell into place from there. So I like, did this internship. I was making these gold nanoparticles that would look at breast cancer biomarkers and it would stain them. And so we could then image it with these different imaging techniques. It kind of like everything from there was like, oh, I really like this intersection of nanotechnology and cancer and disease. So it's like, this is super cool. And so I kind of, everything I did from there was all related to that. And like the next summer, I did an internship in Grenoble, France, doing nanotechnology. I was using these gold nanoparticles and like these DNA sequences to look at how the sequence changed and the signal changed based on like a couple different things. One of the kind of really cool things about this, it was like, essentially it was like an assay for DNA binding, and you could use this for cancer, right? If I like, you know, take a cancer cell, break it open, look at the DNA and compare it to this small sequence I have on the nanoparticle. If they bind, that tells me that this person has this mutation, and, you know, mm-hmm. I have a signal from that and it's quantitative. It's like, there's so much cool stuff.
Sorry to break your concentration. I know you're probably knee deep into today's episode, but do not forget, check out our Lunch and Learn community store, shop.drbarrypierre.com. Remember to use the code EMPOWER10. And make sure you are leaving us a 5-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thank you. Now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
The reason why I love that is one, especially, you know, if you're watching her and, you know, my Lunch and Learn listeners, podcast listeners, I definitely suggest you catch this video, you know, where the YouTube channel is that you could just tell that there's a passion that you have, right? Like just even discuss, and again, because I follow you on TikTok, like I can tell when people have a passion for what they do. So even in the discussion of you leading up to your career path, I can tell like how excited you were kind of going through the process, ending up where you're at, right? At the end of the day, and unfortunately, I hate this, I say this all the time, I'm around a lot of older physicians, right? Where that passion just isn't there. Like they're not happy being in the career position that they're in. I don't know when they lost it. I don't know why they lost it, but you can just tell they lost it. So I'm excited because you're excited, right? I'm ecstatic because you're ecstatic, especially when you're a mentee and you're thinking about, man, I really like science, or I really like these fields here. Like, I want to look at a person like you and say, man, Dr. Richard, like, I don't know what he's doing over there, but he's so excited that like, I want to have some fun over there too. So you can just tell the passion just kind of jumping off the screen. So I just wanted to kind of point that out there for my Lunch and Learn listeners. Because I know, I think especially in a field like this, we got like 300 plus episodes. This is the first time we've had someone who's really been like science, like really science. I got a lot of doctors, right? They major in bio and all this stuff. And I love your story because as far as like the plants, and you're like, I don't know about that. Because I did the same thing when I was at Florida State, and I had Bio2 lab and we had to do dissections. And I remember walking into the lab and then just a whole bunch of just animals and frogs. And I'm like, I don't want to do none of this. Like, I want to go into like humans. I want to see humans. And I remember I had to tell my advisor, like, hey, we got to find us another major. So I love your story because I remember. I feel like that picture is ingrained in me. Like just seeing this lab table just full of sprawled out with stuff that I had to dissect by the end of the year. And I'm like, okay, come on, Bear. You want to do medicine. Like there's got to be a different major. Because, you know, they always tell you go to biology as a major, yeah. Right? So I was like, nah, there's got to be something else, right? When I was looking, right, and I was interested because obviously when we talk about nanotechnology and cancer, and you kind of just even mentioned just some of the ports where like you're doing tumor markers and you're noticing cells and noticing DNA lines. And I was like, all right, what other stuff is like outside of kind of just healthcare in general where nanotechnology is? And I was actually visibly surprised. I was surprised at how many applications right now. And I think the general public would be surprised how many applications right now already are using nanotechnology and we don't even know it.
Yep, it's crazy. Like that TV you might have in your living room right now, it probably has nanoparticles in it. If it's a QLED TV, that Q is a quantum dot. And quantum dots are, they're semiconductor nanoparticles and they emit light. They're the ones that when you shrink them down to nanoscale, they start to emit light. And by changing the size, you can get them to emit different colors.
I saw like some applications in like food and like the clothes. I was just like, okay.
I've definitely
been sleeping on this. So I'm assuming it's not a new field, right? Just I guess the broad aspect of nanotech? I'm assuming it's not like a, like, oh, this just popped up like 5 years ago or something like that.
No, it's been around for a little bit of time. You know, it's starting to mature. And now we're starting to get treatments and, you know, even like imaging modalities that are even based on like nanotechnology. I believe there's like a couple MRI based nanotechnologies that are approved like by the FDA. So like, you know, you take these nanoparticles, the iron nanoparticles, and they're a contrast agent. You inject them to the person, you watch where they go and look at the MRI, and it's like, okay, like you see where they build up in the body. It's like, that's so cool.
Especially in the discussion of kind of cancer, and kind of, you kind of mentioned breast, but I was looking like, especially in this aspect, because people may be saying like, what are the benefits of it, right? And I kind of mentioned it earlier, like there's diagnosis, there's screening, obviously more importantly treatment, but like just the types of cancer, because I figured like, all right, is there like one cancer? Like, no, I saw studies in breast, lung, ovarian, ALL. I was learning, I was like, oh, I have definitely been asleep at the wheel in this aspect of medicine, because clearly it's ingrained in medicine. Clearly, especially as an internist, I've taken care of patients with every single one of these diseases. And I think about like, wow, like what type of influence did this science that I had no clue about might have had in my patient who is sitting in front of me?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think what's interesting is, because obviously it's one of these technologies that are kind of, you know, still continuing, still growing, still learning in your field, right? Especially with kind of what you're doing. Where do you see kind of the horizon for it? Right. Like, I'm in the healthcare field. I'm still novice brain. And obviously, this is what you do. Where do you see the horizon or the kind of, you know, 5, 10, 20 year kind of goals for this aspect of the nanotechnology, especially when it comes to just medicine in general?
So I would think it's mostly going to be in like the therapeutics and diagnostics area, even the combining those. So there's a kind of like idea of these theranostics. So they're nanoparticles or other types of things that have both therapeutic treatments and they're also diagnostic at the same time. So but you have like nanoparticles and, you know, they'll have one thing that's a reporter for this one imaging technique that you might use in the clinic. And you can maybe make it a smart nanoparticle. You can trigger it to release its payload of, say, like some anti-cancer drug. Once it builds up in a certain area. So you basically inject it and you basically deliver the signal to the site of the tumor and it starts to release or do its thing. And that's so cool. Like, you have these smart particles now. I think that's one really cool area. And that's one up and coming area that's kind of being worked toward right now. Because it's really exciting because now you could have some systemic delivery. It doesn't matter how you deliver it. But if you only deliver the on signal, the kill switch to the site with the tumor.
Oh, that makes sense.
Then, yeah, you're getting all the buildup is happening in that tumor and you're only having the effect in that tumor. We can minimize the off-target effects of like some of those really toxic chemotherapy drugs because they're only being released inside the tumor or around the tumor.
And I love that, especially I want you to definitely kind of peek what he's saying is what typically happens, right? Especially when people say they don't want to have chemotherapy, radiation therapy, those types of therapies. Reason why is kind of what he mentioned. The fact that we don't have, you know, at least right now, the ability to say, hey, you know what? Only go after the breast cancer cells. Our only go after the colon cancer cells, only attack those, don't attack the normal tissue, hair, everything else. Like right now, we don't necessarily have that in a level where people would jump. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, doc, I ain't doing that chemo. I ain't doing radiation because I don't think I can handle the treatment. I hear that all the time where I don't think I'm strong enough, which sounds weird. I don't think I'm strong enough for the treatment of my cancer because unfortunately the treatments tends to knock them down, get them sick, all these like, kind of lab related issues kind of occur. So I love just that process of thinking like, wow, we can get to a point where we can say, hey, I'm gonna put this in your system. Oh, that's the blank cancer. Go after that one only. Like, so that's okay. Now, is that something where, and I got a lot of conspiracy theorists who follow me too, right? So of course, right, one of the first thing they're going to say, Dr. PRI, is that safe though? Is this something like, I hear Dr. Richard, but like, is that safe to be putting, you know, nano bugs in me? This is what they're going to say. I'm pretty sure you've ran into this conversation.
I mean, look, obviously there's going to be like pros and cons, but, you know, there's going to have to be some sacrifices, especially if you're treating cancer. Like the chemotherapy drugs you're using they're poison. Like they're in no uncertain terms, it's poison, but it's poison that affects the cancer cells more than it does the normal cells. And you're just taking advantage of cancer's biology. So if you can take it and put it in some type of delivery vehicle and have it specifically target that, like the benefits kind of outweigh some of the risk.
I love that. And I think that's so important, right? Understanding there's going to be safety risk in everything, right? I tell people, hey, you shouldn't look behind a bottle of Tylenol or Advil and look for the possible side effects, or you probably wouldn't take anything. Of course, when we have technology like this, yes, there's a possibility for some things to happen. But remember, the reason why we even have to go in this direction, right, is because you got cancer. Again, obviously, we're talking about cancer, but like you may be dealing with some medical disease that needs treatment. And unfortunately, the aspect of needing treatment, right, if you don't do it, can result in death. And I have to be honest with my patients when I tell them that. I say, hey, if you don't get treated for this thing right here, you will die. No sugarcoating. I can't do it, right? Like, I have to let you know that the risk of not doing something is likely going to end up in death, especially if you catch this sequentially. You know, just a week prior, I talked about Jessica Pattway, who was this YouTuber and passed away from cervical cancer. And, you know, she didn't want the treatment, right? She's like, nope, I'm cool on that, right? So imagine in 5 years, 10 years. Dr. Rich, I don't know how long you think we may get to that point that you kind of mentioned. Like, she could have been offered an opportunity to get these nanotechnology particles, however they would have, you know, packaged them, and not feel that she was going to lose all her hair, not feel like she was going to be too sick to take care of her kids, to live with her family. Imagine if that was an opportunity. And when I talk to a lot of the patients that I'm dealing with, especially in our community, I've talked about this before, where what typically happens, unfortunately, in our community is that we have a delay in the initial diagnosis. And our delay of the initial diagnosis, what unfortunately happens is that the options that me and Dr. Richard can offer decreases. So imagine if the advancement of this technology says, you know what? Yeah, you came to me kind of late, you know, but Dr. Richard is cooking up something. I think we can still help you.
And, you know, that's the goal, is to develop treatments for these like diseases that, you know, otherwise would have very few treatment options or would result in, you know, such drastic symptoms from the treatment that people don't want to do them. You can make this process a lot easier, or, you know, more targeted, so there's less off-target effects. It's the best of both worlds.
I want to talk a little bit, kind of segue into best of both worlds, because Dr. Richard, you could have just said, hey, you know what? I'm a scientist. Like, you know, I like what I do, right? And I'm pretty accomplished, but I still want to look back because I want to be able to go to these meetings and these conferences and these networking events and see more people who look like me. What has been your experience, as you said, like going on social media and really kind of championing a cause? It's funny, we talk about TikTok. People who are not on TikTok hate TikTok, right? But people on TikTok, we love it. TikTok has like this STEM timeline. I absolutely love my STEM timeline, right? Because one, I didn't realize how much math I didn't know. That's a whole different discussion, right? But he be doing math, and the way he break, I'm like, yeah, I would have never got that in a million years. But when you set out to embark on this aspect of, hey, you know what? Not only am I going to be a kind of pillar of my field doing what I do, but I also want to, you know, serve as a mentor, which is a position that a lot of people don't want to serve. What was some of the early response, current response that you kind of got from that?
It's generally been like always positive. People are like really interested in what I'm doing. And it seems like a lot of people also don't know what bioengineering is. Like, that's one question I'm always getting. What is a bioengineer? What do you do? And I've had to make a couple videos on my profiles, like, here, like, go watch these videos. They're not going to be, you know, inclusive, but like, here's a taste of what bioengineers do. It's a very broad field. And I'm only in like this one little corner of it, because there's people that are doing like biomechanics, regenerative medicine, optics, like there's everything. And like, I just do this one thing.
Would you say, like, if you had to say percentage wise in terms of like what bioengineers do, and then kind of percentage, like, where are you at in that sliver? Like, is it like 5% of bioengineers?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's hard to answer, because I mean, imagine a lot of people that are doing like biomedical research are also using, like, you know, biomedical engineering, but they might not necessarily be biomedical engineers or bioengineers. We're also like developing technologies that other people can use. That is actually what dissertation research was on. I was developing these nanoparticles that other people can use for infrared spectroscopy to label different biomarkers of disease. I was particularly interested in breast cancer, so I was looking at like breast cancer specific biomarkers. But, you know, I could just, this was generalizable. I could just swap out the different antibodies on the surface of my particles, and I could target a different cancer or, you know, a different disease. So I was interested in developing this toolkit that people can use. But, you know, other people, they're doing various other things. Other people are actually, you know, developing like tests to detect cancer sooner, or they're developing the microscope to get better images. There's a lot of stuff that's happening and it's hard to say. Yeah.
When you kind of embark and say, hey, I want to serve as a mentor for those who may be interested. Now, do you get people who DM you? Do you get people to shoot you emails? I tell people all the time, especially as a physician, and you know, I get a lot of people say they want to be a doctor, right? And you know, I email, I DM. Because I know that depending on where you're at, you may not have another Black physician who can mentor you along the process, let alone a longer Black male. Like, I think that number just kind of drops even lower. You know, do people DM you? Do people like are emailing?
Oh,
like,
all the time.
I know you're on the
all
line.
The time. It's kind of overwhelming sometimes because like I don't always have the answers, and sometimes I don't even have the bandwidth to respond to all these emails. So I try to like make videos that kind of answer all of their concerns or questions, so I don't have to do it individually one on one. It's difficult.
It is. I love that you said that because I tell people all the time. One of the reasons why I even started doing social media was like I just felt I was almost kind of doing a disservice. When, you know, I would talk to my patient in my office and talk to them about their blood pressure, talk to them about cholesterol or disease process here, knowing that there's so many other people who probably have the same question and can't get that answer. Like I said, you know what? Let me just turn this camera on. You know, I'm shy, but I don't care. I'm going to turn it. If the goal is this video or this blog post or this podcast episode is going to help someone else, like I'm cool with that. I'll get over any insecurity I may have to do so. Just again, I do love that aspect because I think it is an unfortunate responsibility because you got to excel in your field too. But then we still have to do enough work to educate those who may want to be in our field, who may look like us. So we have to kind of hold some hats that maybe our contemporaries don't necessarily have to hold, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't necessarily have the responsibility. Like I was looking at it the other day, I probably went in about 70 different letters of recommendation for people to get into med school, grad school in one way, shape, or form. Some of my friends are like, oh, I mean, letters of recommendation. All right. Now, like this is like, so it's a conversation that they don't even have because in their minds, they don't bear the responsibility of needing to even give back and open the door. So I love that, like I said, even though no one's saying Dr. Richard has to do that, it's the fact that Dr. Richard feels that he has to do that is where I commend you.
Yeah, I don't want people to have the same experiences that I've had, like, you know, going through college and grad school. It's like where I'm the only person that looks like me in the room, or one of five or whatever. I can count on my one hand the number of like people in my field, in my department that look like me. And so that's a problem. Like, I don't want that to be everyone's experience. So I'm trying to do what I can to help with that and remedy that problem.
And that's why I always try to give, especially my educators who take the leap and say, hey, I'm gonna go on social media. I have a different timeline, right? So I have a timeline where people who don't like what I say, they tend to let me know that, hey, I ain't like what you said about blank. I'm hoping that your timeline is a little bit more passive, right? Where like they're
just, it depends on the issue. It depends because, you know, I said talking about GMOs and something. It's like, oh, suddenly everyone, you know, can critique it. It's like a second ago you didn't even know what this was, and now you're come on.
Some of these people, they try to be mean, right? They try. And what's worse is that they'll try to, like, you'll have all these years in the field and they'll be trying to talk to you like they're giving you the business. Like, hold on now, you're completely.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, it's like, whoa, time out. Like, and like, the thing is, like, I know people don't talk to people like this in real life. So, like, what is making you do this on social media? Look, I'm a researcher. I know how to find information. If I want to find you, I can. I don't. Because it's not a good use of my time.
Right.
But, you know, when people leave particularly nasty comments, it's like, you know, I'm going to tell you about yourself. And I'm going to show you that you're not, you know, invisible behind this screen.
Yes.
So make a couple examples and people stop doing it. But, you know, every once in a while, you have to remind people. It's like, hey.
No, relax. Like I said, they called me. Like, I knew it was bad when they were on LinkedIn calling me names. I'm like, hold on, this is LinkedIn. I thought y'all were trying to get jobs and stuff. What is going on? Like, when they were on LinkedIn calling me names, I'm like, okay, yeah. Yeah, this is kind of wild. So, Dr. Richard, before we let you go, let people know where they can follow you, where they can find you, where they can find more information about you. Because like I said, it's one of those things where I want people to kind of get like the aura that I get when I follow you as well too, right? Because it's so appreciative of your effort, especially because you're in the field. Like I said, I still learn from every time you drop a video. I appreciate what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So on TikTok, I'm mainly on TikTok. TikTok is my main social media. I'm not really a big social media person. I wasn't before. I was on TikTok, and that's at CRG Richard, or you can look up the Mad Bioengineer and you should be able to find me on there. I'm also like the Mad Bioengineer on Instagram, and I'm starting up a YouTube channel also under the same name, Mad Bioengineer. So check me out on there on those platforms.
Remember, listeners, Medicine Money Watchers, all description will be in the show notes. So you don't got to like remember it and just go down to description show notes. It'll be there. Again, Dr. Richard, I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you taking the time out to, again, shine a light on a topic of, which is, you know, of severity, right? When it comes to just kind of medical technology and nanotechnology, more importantly, but more importantly, in the battle of cancer and much other things, but definitely in the battle of cancer. I definitely want to thank you for taking the time out and joining our Medicine Monday community.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Pierre. This was really awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation, and hopefully we can have more like this.
Hey, Medicine Money Watchers, I want y'all to know, I tell my guests all the time, the seat is always open, right? And we got him on camera saying he wants to come back. So like when I say, hey, remember that time you said that? We'll keep this in production to make sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting to the end of the episode. I am yours truly, Dr. Barry Pierre, favorite board certified internist. Like always, remember to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a 5-star review, and more importantly, share this to at least 2 of the 5 of your friends and family members that you know that could be empowered with the words that you heard today. Again, so appreciative of all you guys' support. See you guys next week.